Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem, Shalom Bayis, Shir number 457. In outside our communities, boys and girls tend to date for a very long period before they commit to marriage. They spend a lot of time together, making sure they truly understand and know each other. And on the face of it, logically, that makes sense and should result in having happier marriages. But the reality doesn't reflect that. According to research, about 40 to 50% of married couples in the United States get divorced, which is extremely high percentage. So apparently the excessive dating for a very long period of time doesn't make a marriage more successful. Now, he brings a Malbim that explains how these things work. He says that the ways of our ancestors when taking wives for their sons was they inquired about the family, the behaviors of the girl's parents, the girl's midas herself. And after that research, then the chassan meets the kala. You see this by Avraham Avinu. When he wanted to take a wife for Yitzchak, the main thing for him was check the girl's family, where she lives, from a family of his family, father's household, because he knew that they had more tznius, they had higher character. And he relied on his servant Elazar. And then it says that Yitzchak brought her into the tent of Sarah, and he took Rivka as a wife. And only after that, it says, Vayavela, he loved her. So the Malbim explains that there was a custom in for Eden in Eretz Yisrael. That's the way it was. Their love was like planting a tree. It starts out with a small grain or seeds, and with water, it grows from the earth, and every day it will grow bigger and thicker. And the same applies with love. This Malbim is in Devarim, Perek Chaf Dalet, on the Pasuk V'Hoyelim L'Simtza Chein Be'enav. The same is with love. At the beginning, there's only a trace of love floating in the air. But the effort of love grows every single day. So the essence of love really becomes revealed only after marriage. And this infatuation that sometimes is there, we're going to talk about that in a minute. And the Malbim explains that common sense proves that this way was, in a certain respect, better. You didn't need an excessive amount of dating to know each other. It's impossible to know the exact temperament of a woman or a husband before they marry. They don't know it. They need to agree in advance to work through whatever differences there are. But when they date for much longer and they try to, through infatuation and other things, try to show each other love that has no basis and foundation, it's like in a certain way they are misled. And when the love cools down, it fades. So this is a very, very important thing. By the kishrein hamaisen itaisiv by kol yai mahava. That's what the Malbim says. By doing deeds of chesed. That the main love happens after a nisuin. See, people who fall in love easily fall out of love easily. That's why the infatuation stage, which we talked about, the early stage that some people have as a chassan and kala or when dating, that this chemistry, like we say, and it clicks and they're on cloud nine, is a matana, but it's also a nisayin. It's a matana only if, after they get married, they don't rely on the infatuation and those hergeshim, because they go away after a while, naturally. But it's only if there's hard work that comes afterwards, true hard commitment that comes afterwards. When that happens, then going back, that infatuation was a matana. But it's really a nisayin that you could fail that nisayin. if one does not work hard after marriage and just relies on that feeling to go on cruise control, it's a lost opportunity. It could even be a vehicle for subsequently them parting and getting upset and even disgusted with each other if they don't work on themselves. So that's how one is to look on people who didn't have that infatuation in their dating stage or in the early part of marriage stage. They could build with the hard work a beautiful marriage, and the feelings will come, and that's real and that's everlasting. And those that had that feeling early on, they need to know, yes, it's a matana, but it's an achrayus. You have to work hard. Because infatuation was just a trigger to get them going. But if it's truly based for the most part on self-gratification, you enjoy that person's company. You enjoy the time together. You're having fun. You're excited. But of course, once you're married, time goes by, things may go south because they're not prepared for the challenges that come up in marriage. They don't have, or they haven't developed yet, that strong bond that would motivate them to stay together when difficulties come up, normal life difficulties. So love is a process that happens after marriage, built slowly, step by step. That's why after Vayikach es Rivka Vatila Leisha, then Achakach Vayeha Veha, and then there was the real love. Now, does that mean you jump into Shidduch proposals with blind eyes? No. You need to feel comfortable. So you need to talk to each other to a certain degree. The Hasidim have their own way of doing it. The Litvish have their own way of doing it. Different cultures have their own way of doing it. But there is a talking and meeting within reason because they need to be comfortable and confident that they will have a mutual understanding and able to build a solid relationship. They should talk about the important what meet Hashkafas. There needs to be a certain level of connection that is healthy. And if it's not clear to you, you ask a shayla, and sometimes you have to refuse a shidduch. And generally speaking, he mentions on the side, this is on Matoiv Wayalecha, that parents shouldn't force their children into shidduchim. They need to be sensitive to the voices of objection that they have. And take it into consideration, sometimes ask a shayla, and so on and so forth. So in order to understand this better, we need to understand love. It's interesting, he brings down two definitions from the dictionary, what love is. The first one is a great interest and pleasure in something. But that's not really love, that's selfishness, as we're going to explain. The second one that could be not selfish and good is an intense feeling of deep affection. They're opposite translations. A great interest and pleasure in something is like the famous story about you love fish so much, so you eat it. You don't really love the fish, you love yourself. And you're using the fish for your pleasure. So in that scenario, the feelings, if you really truly felt for the fish, you would care for it. Put in a fish tank, clean the water, and so on. But your love for your own pleasure results in harming the fish because you want to eat it. A lot of our love in married life in the beginning falls under this category, unfortunately. They build their love by enjoying themselves. The foundation is built on receiving pleasure and benefit, or expecting to receive pleasure and benefit, whether it's physical, whether it's emotional, financial, satisfaction of whatever desires they have. They really are strongly motivated by their own selfish needs and wants. But that's not what true married love is. Because the love we're talking about is not the great interest and pleasure in something, but an intense feeling of deep affection, a deep emotional connection. A love of a father and a mother that they have for the child, they have an affection, strong emotional connection. It's not dependent on them receiving pleasures. Now, of course, a husband and wife dynamic is different. It should be reciprocal. But we have to lead to the point where the relationship is deep affection, not connected with unhealthy things. It says in Pirkei Avos, Kol Ahava Tluya B'Davar, any love that's dependent on something, Batal Davar, Batal Ahava. When the thing leaves, the love leaves. And the love that's not dependent, Einat Tluya B'Davar, does not get destroyed ever. And he brings down Ahavas Amnon V'Tamar, is a Tluya B'Davar, which means that like this, a husband may love his wife for her physical beauty, similar to Amnon and Tamar. Or a wife may love her husband because he's wealthy, she benefits financially. And even if they feel very close, it's not real genuine love, because once they lose those characteristics, wife loses some of her physical beauty, the friend or the husband loses some money, then the love, they don't love anymore. That's like the fish, the taste buds. If you start not liking fish, you're now not liking fish. So true love is a certain unconditional. We'll talk about unconditional. It doesn't mean the Hollywood unconditional. We'll explain that, and we have. But the key really is mitakshuloy lishma balishma, which we're going to talk about. There's a process. It's okay to appreciate those physical aspects or other aspects of your spouse, but the purpose is to get to a point where I love you as a person. I love you for who you are. I love you for the intrinsic value of your neshama, tzelem aleichem. I love the fact that we're simply together, not because I'm benefiting, I'm getting this and that and the other thing. They love each other because of a pure oneness. We need to get there. But how do you get there? Yes, realistically, you start out with the tluya b'davar, the shaloi lishma. But again, the shaloi lishma has to lead to lishma. We talked about this. Taisis in one place says that. The shaloi lishma that's always negative is if that's your mindset. I just want to receive pleasure. What can I get out of it? That's the main and only motivation. That's destructive and wrong. But if you are connected to those material things, if while dating you appreciate your potential wife's physical attractiveness or certain midos or certain things, and she to him, that's okay. That's okay. Sometimes you do need, when two people first get to know each other, the love starts slow. Sometimes in the beginning, yes, they're appreciative of other external factors, whether it's physical pleasures that they may get, emotional pleasures that they'll provide for each other, or it could be a loyalty or the feeling of friendship, the feeling of deep connection, right? And when they get married, yes, they give each other physical and emotional pleasure. They are loyal. There's a deep connection and pleasure connected with the intimate relationship, and so on and so forth. But the idea is all these factors, the purpose is to build that connection to the extent where now you have a level of true love, where even if those factors are moved away now, they would still love each other. He gives a mushal that someone wants to reach a rooftop, they can't just jump up, they need the ladder, step by step. So that's the idea of the love when it's tully b'davar. That's okay, because love needs to be built one step at a time. This ladder is those other benefits. But as they grow closer, their connection increases. Then genuine love comes in, till the point where they want to be together, that there's no other closer person in the world than them. That's what it is. Because so that's what you see. Initially, a husband and wife, they may have a tully b'davar type of a hava. They have benefits, physical or emotional, or because of the children and so on and so forth. But in real true marriages, even as they get older and the taiva goes down, or there's no children, or the children are already older and they can't have any more children, they still have that strong love for each other that did not go away, that stayed stronger and went even stronger and stronger. So that's very, very important. But so the first part of Ahava is okay to have that aspect of connection. But then afterwards, after working on it, then nisher ahava chakuka b'libay, then the ahava remains engraved in his heart, and v'nikva ahava mo'id b'libay, and it's very strong in his consciousness. The same idea as avodas Hashem. The Rambam talks about ahavas Hashem by contemplating over the chesed of Hashem. First, he talks about cholas ava, that the love of Hashem is like shir hashirim, compares it to shir hashirim, which is kodesh hakodashim. Every detail of that person has meaning, just like Hashem's love for us, Klal Yisrael, describes all the beautiful things of Klal Yisrael, where every move has meaning, every touch, every gaze. And that feeling envelops a person, even when they're walking together, even washing the dishes is enjoyable when they're done together. It's a whole different feeling. But so it starts off with sometimes the tali bedavar, a distinct quality, but then it elevates itself higher and higher. He brings down the Tzvar Hamor, which is a beautiful parish on Shir HaShirim. It says Tlabal Nesivus HaMishpat, so it may not be the famous Tzvar Hamor that lived during the Spanish Inquisition times. But basically the idea is that the Shir HaShirim connection of a man and a woman is to be Ma'ir, Havas Hashem, Kimsa'is Chasan Al-Kala, and everything is Bekedusha. He explains, Hakal Haya Bekedusha. The Taiva Gashmias, the physical sexual desires, is only as a help towards that Kedusha. And he says the problem is people only focus on the Taiva Hachomris, only on the physical sexual alone. Okay, illu leinivru elalazeh, as if that's the reason why they were created, ki yitzias habehemus, and they bring themselves down. So there's nothing wrong with physical intimacy, nothing wrong with the pleasure of it either, as long as the guide is to get to that real, true love that stems from Kedusha, that stems from the neshama as well, that stems from a true connection. So that is the key, really. It's okay to have a tali b'davar in the beginning, as long as it's not totally selfish, to get to a point where the love gets stronger and stronger until that's not important anymore. And you just simply have that deep affection, deep emotional bond, and you're just happy to be with your husband, with your wife. Bracha natzlach.